From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yo, 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 what is up, good people? Welcome to Current Sports on this February 18th. Yes, hump day has come around once again. Man, the week is already flying by. Welcome to the show. As always, I am your host, Al Martin. And boy, oh boy, do we have a hot and steaming Current Sports for you today. Now, today, of course, we'll talk about the MSU and U of M men's basketball game last night. Also bring to you a pretty cool feature by one of our Current Sports beat reporters. Also, the Detroit Pistons are interested in a certain call him a swingman, if you will, for the Brooklyn Nets. And we'll talk Lansing Eastern High School Sports Hall of Fame with committee member Sue Mills. All of that and so much more, but as custom here on Current Sports, let's start the show like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this February 18th. All right, let's start with that MSU men's basketball game. Michigan State seniors Travis Trice and Brandon Dawson led the way for the Spartans in their first win in Ann Arbor since 2010. Now, Brandon Dawson had 23 points, 13 rebounds, while Trice found him for near the basket on many occasions, finishing with 22 points and 7 assists. Michigan State has now won 3 in a row and look to keep the streak alive when they travel to Illinois on Sunday. All right, some high school prep action, folks. Last night, Lansing Everett used a 17-7 fourth quarter run to beat East Lansing last night, 54-44 the final. Everett's full court press and length of Trevor Emmanuel was just too much for ELs to overcome. Jamarin Jackson led the way for Sexton with 17 points while Manuel added 15. Holt overcame an 18-point first-half deficit to beat Lansing Sexton 54-53. Now, Lansing led the entire way until a 16-7 fourth-quarter run gave Holt the win. Drew Stavichik led the way for Holt with 20 points in that W. All right, ESPN personality Jason Stark recently released his annual survey of 35 baseball executives, and 7 of them reportedly selected the Tigers as, get this, one of the American League's most unimproved teams. Not improved, but unimproved teams. Now, it says, quote, "The Tigers are on this list, even though nobody would be shocked if they won the World Series." Yeah, without Max Scherzer. That's what Stark wrote. Now, former Tigers pitcher Max Scherzer led the way for the worst free agent signing category with 15 votes. That's intriguing. All right, Detroit Pistons have reached out to the Brooklyn Nets to inquire about the availability of swingman Joe Johnson. Now, a deal between the two would be centered around injured Pistons point guard Brandon Jennings and expiring contracts for the former All-Star. Now, no deal is imminent, but the Nets have been fielding offers for Johnson dating back to December. Now, Alex Rodriguez also has released a handwritten apology to the New York Yankees folks, their fans, and the MLB for his use of performance-enhancing drugs. Now, A-Rod went on to say, quote, "I take full responsibility for my mistake that led to my suspension in the 2014 season," end quote. Now, he also expresses gratitude in the apology that he is fortunate to still have the opportunity to come back. We'll have more on that handwritten apology from A-Rod later on in the show. Stay tuned for that one. All right, the Detroit Red Wings look to halt a 3-game skid tonight as they head to the Shot. That's right, Chicago, for a matchup with the rival Blackhawks. Now, the rivalry means more now due to Detroit's recent move to the Eastern Conference, which has made the matchup less frequent. The Wings have yet to win since goaltender Jimmy Howard returned last Wednesday. Both Chicago and Detroit are atop in the NHL in goals allowed per game at 2.26 and 2.42, respectively. All right, the great NBA sideline reporter, equipped with his fancy, stylish, to say the least, suits, Craig Sager is returning to the sideline and reporting home in March. Now, Sager, who is winning a 10-month battle with leukemia, made a cameo appearance during All-Star Weekend when he interviewed Knicks forward Carmelo Anthony. He said, quote, "I'll be coming back around March 1st if everything goes well these next few weeks," Sager said. And he then went on to say that he is looking forward to closing out the regular season and being there for the NBA playoffs. And Anderson Silva continues to make headlines. He was found to have failed yet another drug test. The Nevada State Athletic Commission Executive Director Bob Bennett confirmed to ESPN that Silva failed his post-fight test after defeating Nick Diaz on January 31st for the same steroid that he failed a test for on January 9th, also administered by the NSAC. And last but not least, the New York Knicks sank even further into the mud today as reports say that Carmelo Anthony is set to undergo season-ending surgery on his left knee. All right, without further ado, let's start the show. All right, folks, phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. They will stay open all the way up until 2 p.m. if you want to call in and weigh in on anything that is discussed right here on the show. We encourage your calls, folks. If you don't happen to be by a phone, but you still want to chime in and let your voice be heard, hey, why don't you tweet me, or at least follow me on Twitter, at Al Martin, WKAR, or leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. If you leave a comment there, I will read it here live on the air. Well, we have a fun show in store for you today. Now, as mentioned to start the show, folks, in my intro, we will be inviting a committee member from the Lansing Eastern High School Sports Hall of Fame. Her name is Sue Mills, and she knows her stuff, folks. But if you've been following Current Sports these last few weeks, we actually let you guys know that Lansing Eastern will be unveiling its newest class of the Lansing Eastern High School Hall of Fame later on this month. February 27th, to be exact, is when that ceremony is going to be held. So Sue is a part of that committee, and she's going to talk about the criteria that goes into voting members for the Hall of Fame, how that whole process works, how many classes at Lansing Eastern, at Lansing Eastern's Hall of Fame, I should say, have there been throughout its history. She'll talk about the entire process, also talk to you about the athletes who are being inducted later on this month at Lansing Eastern High School. She'll talk about the ceremony that's going to take place, all of that and so much more. Again, Sue Mills will join me on the show later on. You don't want to miss that. And yes, folks, it is Wednesday, and each and every Wednesday, we, of course, love to have a lot of fun and embrace debate each and every Wednesday with our Barbershop Wednesday segment. And you guys know why we call it Barbershop Wednesday, right? Because, you know, where I'm from in the D, whenever you get a cut, everybody, before you go in there, or even when you go in there and you sit down, everybody believes that they're a sports expert in the barbershop, okay? That's what men do. I mean, sports talk is what men banter about, especially when you're sitting down getting your hair cut. So we dub it Barbershop Wednesday, and today's Barbershop Wednesday focuses on, yes, Alex Rodriguez, who was found to have been using performance-enhancing drugs throughout much of his baseball career and was punished for it, but has decided to issue a really heartfelt apology. I guess you can say heartfelt depending on who you talk to, depending on what fan or baseball analysis or just casual sports fan you talk to. He actually, you know, made it very personable and even, you know, wrote it down, handwritten. It was a handwritten apology, and he had some interesting things to say. Now, we've seen athletes throughout their careers get in trouble, whether it be, you know, some pretty big names too, high prolific athletes. One of the biggest ones for me, you guys know how big of a Tiger Woods fan I am. And you guys know when Tiger Woods went down that fiasco where he got into it with his wife and, you know, he was found to have been dabbling in multiple cookie jars. He was caught red-handed and Tiger came out and said, "Hey, I'm sorry." I remember the interview that he did, I believe it was with Tom Rinaldi, in which, you know, it was pretty captivating, and he talked about how he was so sorry and how he needed to change as a person, as a human being, as a man, and how he needed to rely on his Buddha his religious beliefs that he grew up with due to his mother and upbringing from his mother and father. And it's really interesting because, you know, these athletes, when they get caught doing something wrong, it's not until then, you know, when they're caught doing some wrongdoing that they know was wrong in the first place until we see an apology from them. So is it unforgivable? That's the question I want to pose today. To what extent do you forgive an athlete as a fan? I want to get your thoughts on that. That is our Barbershop Wednesday topic today. Is it ever unforgivable? Or do you forgive him and kind of just move on? Even another athlete, Kobe Bryant. A lot of people forget about that whole fiasco that happened in Colorado with, you know, Lakers star Kobe Bryant. And then Kobe just kind of just shut everybody up with his play on the basketball court and kind of just made us really kind of just ignore it. I mean, he was playing so unbelievable after that whole incident took place that we kind of forgot what happened. And also, he came out and issued an apology. He sat down. Remember the famed press conference with his wife, Vanessa. He bought her a new ring that was bigger than her hand. I mean, it was unbelievable. But, you know, it's not until, you know, athletes are caught doing something wrong until we see an apology from them. So, again, is it unforgivable as a sports fan? To what extent do you forgive an athlete? Call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Well, man, oh, man, I tell you what, on yesterday's show, much of the conversation was dominated by the MSU men's basketball team, and deservedly so, because it's been such a roller coaster type of a year. But I always say January, February, Izzo, April. I tell you what, it seems as though each and every year, Tom Izzo's teams, you know, no matter what type of year they may have had at the beginning of the year or even at the middle of the year, but in February, leading into the tournament in March, Tom Izzo starts to really get on his team, and they start to get and they start to fine-tune their game and start to really reveal that, hey, this is a serious team that possibly, keyword possibly, could make some noise come March in the NCAA tourney. Now, there are still some that will peg them on the bubble and respectively. So, I mean, 3 wins in a row, this is a stretch that hasn't happened all year for this team. But, man, oh, man, did they look good last night against a Michigan team that isn't great. Let's be honest here. But they're starting to get it together and are starting to rack up some wins, and you're starting to see confidence from certain players that we've been waiting to see that confidence bloom from. So, again, Michigan State, big win against U of M last night in Ann Arbor. Their first win in the AA since 2010. Brandon Dawson was a man amongst boys. 23 points, 13 rebounds. Travis Trice was nice all game. I mean, he finished with 22 points, 7 assists. Wow, they were very impressive. Those two were the catalyst that were consistent throughout that entire game. Here's actually Brandon Dawson on that big win out in Ann Arbor last night.
It means a lot, you know, definitely for myself and Travis. It just feels good getting a win here. You know, last year they swept us twice. You know, it was just that feeling from sitting on the bench and, you know, not being in the play and watching. So, you know, sweeping those guys twice, you know, it just feels great. I'll say, you know, our guards did a great job of making shots. They moved the ball well. You know, Tom, you know, all those different, he gets guys involved. So, you know, we just made shots. And I think that's what got us going. We just moved the ball well. You know, we did what Coach, you know, told us to do it, and, you know, it turned out great.
You know what was so impressive about Brandon Dawson's performance? I mean, look at the numbers, folks. 10 of 12. 10 of 12. I mean, that's unbelievable in itself. 10 of 12 from the field. 23 points with 13 rebounds. I mean, and you know, what's so, and I kind of mentioned this on the right during Current Sports yesterday's show, previewing this matchup last night. Brandon Dawson seems to, again, He's very confident right now. Very, very confident. And the key with Dawson, I've always said, you got to get Brandon Dawson involved early in the game. Because if you try and wait to feed Brandon Dawson the ball and try and, you know, light that match midway through the game, it's most likely not going to happen. If Brandon Dawson is involved and aggressive from the very tip of the game, I mean, it could get ugly for the opposing matchup, folks. I tell you what, Brandon Dawson can easily become very, very scary. And the thing about Brandon Dawson, I'm starting to see more of, especially in this stretch of three straight wins, is that Brandon Dawson is kind of, you know, making me eat my own words right now. He is creating his own offense, folks. I mean, how many times did we see last night Brandon Dawson grab the ball, turn around for that baby 15-footer and nail it? Or how many times did we see Brandon Dawson last night put the ball on the floor, take the ball to the rim, and put it in the bucket? I mean, he looked like the Brandon Dawson that we saw during the Big Ten tournament last year, bleeding into the NCAA tourney. If you remember game one of that NCAA tourney last year, I mean, Dawson went insane. Dawson was a guy who you could give to the ball and say, hey, go score. And he's looking more and more like that guy as the season dwindles down. I don't know what light is going on in Brandon Dawson's mind, but I hope it stays on. I hope it stays on, folks. Travis Trice, unbelievable performance from him last night. He went 6 for 12, 4 of 6 from three-point land. I mean, he was sizzling hot from behind the arc. Also want to shout out Bryn Forbes, who also, and Bryn Forbes is kind of a, he's kind of an ebb and flow player as well. I mean, if Bryn Forbes is hitting shots early in the game, I mean, he can get really, really hot. He's like a microwave. He's like Vinny Johnson of the Pistons. I mean, he can heat up really, really quick, folks. But Travis Trice was unbelievable because not only did he burn Michigan when it came to his offensive game, when it came to the scoring, I should say scoring offensively, but, I mean, it was an unbelievable game for him as far as getting others involved as well. I mean, he loves to throw those lobs down low to Dawson, to Costello, to Schilling. And, man, oh, man, it seemed as though, him, especially him and Dawson last night, I mean, they were on the same page. They were reading the same book. They were on the same planet. I mean, they were vibing, folks. And it's so remarkable because, again, dating back to the win against Northwestern, to the win against Ohio State, the key player in both of those games who really started to raise his ceiling and his game for me and put the Spartan team on his back was Denzel Valentine. But Denzel Valentine was relatively quiet last night. He really didn't have to do much. He didn't crack double-digit scoring. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Brandon Dawson and Travis Trice were so good. And also, I want to give credit to that Michigan defense because it seemed as though that, even though it was a blowout last night, John Beilein knows what he's doing. He's a very good coach. He's been watching film with Denzel during the stretch, and they had a specific game plan to make sure that they got in the grill of Denzel and forced somebody else to beat him, point blank, period. And it was just remarkable that that Dawson and Trice stepped into the task because once they went into that zone, you start to see a lot of pressure put on Denzel Valentine, and Denzel Valentine, they said, okay, all right, you guys got me. I'm going to dish it out, and I'm going to let my other teammates create. And that's what they did. But, you know, the question for me is, how encouraging is it, you know, that MSU won convincingly without a big performance from Denzel Valentine? So how consistent can Brandon Dawson and Travis Trice be? Can they duplicate those type of performances on a daily basis, game after game after game? That's the thing, though. But it's really cool to have this three-headed horse in Valentine, Trice, and Dawson, that either three of those guys can burn you if need be. And this is the best that MSU has looked all year. Let's be honest here, folks. I mean, they haven't strung together a stretch like this and looked this impressive all season. Again, March is right around the corner. Tom Izzo also talked after the game. Here's a quick bite on whether or not he's too worried about the rest of the year.
You know, you look at what we got left. We're at Wisconsin. We're at Indiana. We're at Illinois, you know, and then we got two of the hotter teams in Minnesota and Purdue at home. So I don't feel very good about anything right now except the big win tonight. But I think we got a lot of work to do yet, and we got to become more disciplined. I mean, we just have to be solider if we're going to, you know, close some people out, like you said. But all in all, the going the road, and you can talk about depleted, you can talk about all those things, but hey, you play a rivalry game, it's a rivalry game. And for the most part, we controlled most of the game. And I do got to give our team some credit for that.
Man, you got to love Tom Izzo. He's not Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles out there. He sees the little things, folks. He sees, you know, stretches throughout the game. Again, you got to take this game. Let's be, I keep it real here on the show, folks. You got to take this. It's a great win. This is a great stretch. But you got to take it with a grain of salt because Michigan isn't a great team. For me, this was a business trip, and Michigan State did what they were supposed to do. They did what they were expected to do, and what they were expected to do the first time these two teams met in the Breslin Center. This is a team that is depleted. They don't have Caris LeVert. They don't have Derek Walton Jr., and they're relying on guys like Spike Albrick and Ricky Doyle to produce points, Aubrey Dawkins and you know, Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman, all those guys to really step into roles that they aren't accustomed and comfortable in stepping into this season. So Michigan State should be pummeling Michigan. It should have happened the first time. Michigan State finally showed, and they're starting to really click, and you're starting to see that chemistry build with them. And again, this is this. If you talk about teams clicking at the right time, this is the time that you need your team to start gelling going into March, folks. Best stretch for MSU all year. You got to be realistic about it, though, and I think Tom, you know, knows that, again, there are a few things that this team still needs to work on, the big one being consistency. And I always say, you know, when it comes down to the end of the year, leading into those you know, the Big Ten tournament, and then when March Madness ensues, you got to do the little things right, because it's the little things that have to be done right and are amplified on big stages and in big games. Encouraging win, yes. But this was supposed to happen, folks. This was supposed to happen. And I tell you what, I love Tum Tum, man. Tum Tum, you know, Tum Tum starting now, you know, in that point guard role. Again, what Tum Tum gives you is he gives you that penetrating aspect. I mean, he's so quick. I mean, Dan Dockage and Mike Tirico, you know, there were multiple times where they acknowledged it, how fast Tum Tum gets out on the break and his vision. He has great vision, he has great speed, and he has great defense. Tum Tum can guard any guard in the nation, I think. I mean, he's that good defensively, folks. But, you know, with Tum Tum becoming more confident, also offensively, we saw him hit a three-pointer last night, you know, back-to-back three-point shot games for him now. And he also can put the ball on the floor and score. You know, he picks and chooses in spots when to score, but you're starting to see that confidence brew with him. But with Tum Tum playing well, again, it puts pressure off of the other guards to play well or to produce every single time down the court. Specifically, Travis Trice. I mean, Travis Trice is ideally, when Tum Tum is out there, he's playing that two guard. You know, he doesn't have to facilitate and run the offense because Tum is already doing that. So this is a very key stretch for Tum Tum right now. You know, the first time, you know, Tum played against Michigan, he only played 7 minutes again. You know, in the last game, leading into the Michigan game, against Ohio State, he played 36 minutes. So you're starting to see his minutes increase, and with minutes comes confidence. Point blank, period. What do you guys think about the win? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. While we are taking your calls, I want to play a piece here. Our feature of the day, if you will. It comes from one of our, you know, we have a group of fantastic students who are working day in and day out here on Current Sports Radio and Current Sports TV. And one of the students is by the name of Dominique Oden. She's our Current Sports beat reporter who is actually covering Okemos High School for the semester. And, you know, Dominique decided to do a feature on one of the best high school basketball players in the area. I don't know if the name Connor George rings a bell, folks, but it should. He's pretty good. He's a senior at Okemos High School right now. He's tearing it up for Jeff Wanch and company. Of course, Jeff Wanch is the head coach of the Okemos boys basketball team. And, of course, Connor, that last name, George, he is the, yes, son of MSU women's volleyball coach Kathy George. And, you know, I've covered a few games this year and seen Kathy in the stands, and she's always very intently watching it very closely, you know, practically biting all of her nails off watching her son play. But he is a very special player who has a lot of offers on the table as far as playing at the next level. So Dominique, she took the trip out to Okemos High School to talk with head coach Jeff Wanch about Connor, and also you hear from Connor about his play this year. Here it is.
A humble senior at Okemos High School with the drive and determination like no other shines by putting his heart on the basketball court. The people around him, like his coach, Jeff Wanch, sees his hard work and determination.
Well, I definitely want to talk about his work ethic, because his work ethic is why he's our best scorer and our best player. He works really hard, and I don't know if I've ever coached anyone that has worked as hard as Connor, so very proud of his efforts thus far. He spends the time in the gym, maybe more than others when it comes to working on little things. Some guys go to the gym and they're just in the gym and they think that's good enough. Connor's knows what he needs to improve on, and he's working on those. So he takes what coaches tell him, he goes to the gym on his own a lot of times and works on those things. I think probably what I know is the same as what all his friends know, and, you know, all his teachers know, and all the adults that he runs into. He's just a very respectful kid, and, you know, just a very good person. And that's what makes him really fun to coach.
Every time I go to the gym, it's with my brother, and I feel like no one really knows about the stuff that goes behind the scenes. like the stuff that's not in games, and I think work ethic is a big deal, and not everyone sees that. And me and my brother shooting, so.
How's your brother impacted your game?
Well, we do. Obviously, we shoot a lot. We do a lot of drills, and he pushes me. He's 5 years older than me, so he's always pushing me, and he's just always been there when I needed help.
What's your earliest memory of basketball?
Probably game winner versus DeWitt about two weeks ago.
What was so special about it?
Well, I've never done it before, and then player that I look up to, Travis Bader, graduated a while ago, and he hit the exact same shot, exact play, and it was just kind of cool looking back on it and thinking about that.
What is it like to be one of the top players in mid-Michigan?
Well, I try not to think about that, but, you know, it's nice getting your name out there, I guess, but bottom line is getting wins, and that's what I'm trying to do.
What is being named the Athlete of the Week by Meyer and Youth Classic Run?
It was a special feeling, but you can't take that straight to the head. You got to move on and keep working.
How hard have you worked to get where you are today?
It's been quite the journey. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears on the court. A lot of countless hours in the gym, just going at it.
What are some obstacles you faced?
Well, an obstacle I faced was not playing that much during freshman year. Kind of was on the freshman team, just played a good amount of minutes, about half the time, but that really motivated me, and that was a big obstacle in my life, and that challenged me to get better, and that was big.
Who would you say your biggest supporters are?
I think my family members and coaches, coaching staff. Family members are always there for me. Coaching staff is always there for me. They do a good job.
Even with his mother being a respectable coach to the Michigan State volleyball team, Connor is unfazed by this and does not have any weight on his shoulders.
I don't think that people expect a lot from me because it's kind of a fun fact. And she's definitely a big piece of who I am. She's not always pushing me though. She's there for me, and if I need someone to talk to, she'll talk to me about it. But
for WKAR Current Sports, I am Dominique Oden.
Dominique, fantastic job again. Dominique Oden, Current Sports beat reporter for Okemos High School. Again, you just heard from Connor George, who is a senior boys basketball player at Okemos High School, who is just tearing it up. If you haven't seen Connor and Jeff Watch's team play, man, oh man, are you missing out, because I tell you what, the CAAC Blue is very, very competitive. Okemos right now sits at 9-7 overall. And yes, Connor, as you just heard in that piece, he was named as the Meyer High School Athlete of the Week. Pretty cool stuff. All right, folks, we'll take in your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And before we hit the first break, you know who's on line one. I don't even have to tell you guys. My man Ray. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, you suffocated the boys last night. You didn't give them any breathing room, Skipper.
Man, Michigan State was in a complete zone last night, Ray. They looked good, didn't they? State looked good.
You, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming that your talent was going to start showing up. And 42-18 in the paint. It's the blueprint to
right.
beat Michigan. I don't want him to win another game this year. No NCAA, no NIT. Bye-bye, Michigan, just like your football team.
Yeah, you know what, Ray? I'm glad you brought up that stat. I definitely overlooked that. 42-18 in the paint. Again, and you brought this up multiple times when you called in on the show. Michigan has no inside presence, which is why Brandon Dawson was able to have the game that he did have.
He's a monster.
He definitely is, Ray.
Yeah, I said, you got to step up and be the man tonight, and he did.
Right. Yeah, that is true. That is
and
very, very true.
I really didn't do a whole lot of that. What was that other guy that made all them shots outside?
Travis Trice.
Yeah, Price. He's a heck of a player.
He is, man. You know, and now, you know, but again, you know, I look at this game as, you know, Michigan State just ideally handled business. I mean, Michigan is a team that has been battered and beaten all year. And to be honest, I mean, to be in some of the games they've been in, throughout, you know, the later part of the year, it's pretty remarkable considering the roster that they have.
Right.
Michigan State said, okay, it's time to put our foot in the gas and put the foot on the throat and just kind of blow them out, which should have happened. This should have happened the first time these two teams met, in my eyes, at least,
right.
Ray.
You know what? John Beilein and David Brandon and all those other guys that are left, you guys better quit worrying about the gold and silver, like it says in Proverbs, and start take the understanding knowledge.
All right. Ray.
Humble yourselves, Michigan. God bless you, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Ray.
Bye, buddy.
Oh, Ray is one of a kind. You never know where a Ray call is going. It could go left, it could go right, up, down. I just don't know sometimes. Folks, call in 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's take a quick breather. When we come back, we will be on the line with Lansing Eastern High School Sports Hall of Fame committee member Sue Mills. You don't want to miss this incredible class that will be inducted at Lansing Eastern High School later on this month. We'll have all of that and so much more. You're listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870. Hey, hey, hey now, welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this February 18th, 2015. Happy hump day, folks. If you get over this day, hey, just 2 days until the weekend. Well, I'll tell you what, there will be a pretty cool honor that will be taking place at Lansing Eastern High School later on this month. Now, six individuals and one team will be inducted into the Lansing Eastern High School Athletic Hall of Fame later on this month. Now, again, this induction will be held in the school's Hall of Fame during a ceremony on February 27th prior to the boys and girls basketball games against Sexton at Don Johnson Fieldhouse. Now, the inductees will be introduced to the public between the boys and girls basketball games. And to talk about it all, we have the privilege of welcoming Sue Mills, who is a part of the Lansing Eastern High School Sports Hall of Fame committee. Sue, how you doing? And thanks a lot for the time today.
Well, I'm doing just great and doing a few things inside today because it's so cold outside and hoping that we'll have a little warmer weather on February 27th.
I tell you what, I think we are all crossing our fingers for that moment right there, Sue. And yeah, when I called you earlier today, you were actually painting inside of your house, right?
Well, I was. I'm retired now, and I didn't have any outside meetings today. I do a lot of community volunteer work, but I was home today, so I'm doing a little painting.
That is fantastic, Sue. Well, you're staying warm. That's the key, right?
That's the key for today.
All right,
Sue.
The whole week, yes. Yeah, definitely. The whole week stay warm, all right? Now, Sue, I want to talk about this incredible, incredible ceremony that, again, will be taking place February 27th, later on this month, the Lansing Eastern High School Sports Hall of Fame and its newest inductees. First off, I want to talk about you really quick, Sue. How did you become a part of the committee, and what's the criteria to be a part of that committee?
Well, I'm a graduate of Eastern, and I've lived in the greater Lansing area my entire life. I graduated a long time ago, in 1957, and I got a call from Eleanor Dorsum, who was principal at Eastern. In fact, she was a phys ed teacher when I was there and knew I was interested in athletics. I was a cheerleader in high school and a cheerleader at Michigan State, and she said that they were looking for some committee members and people that had some organizational skills, which people say I have. So I've been on the committee now for about, I think this is my eighth year. You can be on for 9 years, actually, three-year terms. So I've got another year to go.
Oh, wow, man. So your time is coming to a close as far as with the committee, I guess you can say.
Well, I'm real proud of what we've accomplished the last few years, and I think we're in good stead.
Now, as far as the committee itself, how many committee members are there, Sue?
There are nine, and we each serve for a 3-year term and three rotate, off each year. But they could be reelected, as I said, for up to, three-year terms.
Gotcha. Now, I'm very curious here. I mean, just how long has the Lansing Eastern Athletic Hall of Fame been in session? I mean, how many classes are there? How far back does this date?
Well, we were the first high school in Lansing to start a Hall of Fame, and our inaugural one was in the year 2005. We had some pretty interesting and exciting people in that first class. We had Paul Cook, who, as you know, is a legendary coach here at in the greater Lansing area, not only at Eastern, but, also at Lansing Catholic. And Kevin Jackson, he was an Olympic wrestler who was a graduate of Eastern, Don Johnson, who coached many, many state championship wrestling teams, and Jay Vincent. So they were in our first class in 2005, and each year we have, that first year we had 8 individuals in one team, but ever since then we've had 5 or 6 individuals. We have kind of a voting process, so you know, we don't say we're going to take X many. We say, you know, you have to get this percentage of the votes.
Gotcha. Now, is the hall located inside of the school, and are there, is there memorabilia that has been donated from those inducted into the hall?
Well, we have plaques. They actually are in the hallway at the Don Johnson Fieldhouse. You know, that's where Eastern plays their basketball games and a lot of their other sports. So it's in that separate big building that's adjacent to Eastern High School.
Right.
And we have an alcove at one end where we have a plaque, individual plaques for each person with their photo on it and what their accomplishments are. We don't really have room to have other memorabilia. I know I have been down to the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame at the Lansing Center, and
right,
they are gathering a lot of memorabilia, which is really cool also.
Yeah, it certainly is. Folks, we are talking with Sue Mills of the Lansing Eastern High School Sports Hall of Fame. She is on the committee. Now, Sue, I want to talk about this year's class. For those that don't know about the class, I wanted to kind of throw the ball in your court. I have the list here, but I want you to talk about this year's class and what makes this year's class so special.
Well, every year's class we really feel is special. It's very interesting. This year we have 5 individuals for their athletics, 1 for their volunteer work. We don't always honor someone involved with a lot of volunteer work for the school and the athletic department, but this year we are. And then we have 1 state championship wrestling team. So we've had so many state championship wrestling teams.
Really?
particularly during the Don Johnson years. The team we're inducting this year is the 1954 wrestling team. They were the state Class A champions. It was called Class A in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
They were undefeated in dual meets. They ended up first in the 6A league, and they scored more points than had ever been scored in a state wrestling championship meet that particular year. So,
wow.
We're delighted, and, you know, from 54, you know, a lot of these members now are in their 80s, but we've been trying to track down a lot of them, and we've been hearing about a lot of them that, you know, are coming back. And some of our individuals, Herb Robinson, he was in the class of 1982, basketball. He was a member of the 1980 state championship team, and he went on to play at Purdue University, played 4 years, and they were the Big Ten co-champions in 1982 to 1984. Herb is now living in Indiana, and he works in the police department and has been there for 27 years, so we're thrilled that he's going to be able to come back and join us. Denny Hill made his prowess at Eastern in swimming. He was in the class of 1982. He also ran track and played football. But at Eastern, he set swimming records in the 200 IM and the 400 free. Then he went on to Michigan State, where he co-captained the swim team, and he placed 4th in the NCAA in swimming in 1966.
Mm-hmm.
He was the team captain. But the thing that he's done since then, he was the head coach for swimming at Ann Arbor Pioneer for 45 years.
45 years, my 45 goodness.
45 years. He had 15 boys state championship team and 16 boys runner-up teams in the states.
Wow.
And he coached the girls also and had 16 girls state championship teams and 9 runner-ups. And he's been inducted into the Michigan High School Swimming Coaches Hall of Fame as well as the National Interscholastic Swim Coaches Association. So he has... he did a lot in high school, but he's gone on to do a tremendous amount for the swimming community, and particularly in the Ann Arbor area.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then Bob Strager. Bob was in the class of 51, and he played football, basketball, and baseball at Eastern, and he earned 7 varsity letters. He captained both the basketball team and the baseball team. He pitched 4 shutouts, and he played Major League Baseball for the Milwaukee Braves.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, so, you know, he's a great guy. He winters in Florida now, but he and his wife are going to be here with several members of their family.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Another inductee is Paul Stein. He graduated in the early 60s. Paul earned 9 varsity letters at Eastern and was co-captain in all 3 of the sports, football, basketball, and baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He was MVP in football and basketball his senior year. And he was the starting quarterback for the Air Force Academy for 2 years.
Man, Stein was pretty impressive as well. This is quite the class here.
Yes, it is. And unfortunately, Paul is deceased, but some members of the family will be representing him.
Okay.
Our final individual for their prowess in their athletic endeavors is Alec Mull. You might be familiar with the Mull name.
Mm-hmm.
He has 2 brothers who are already in our Athletic Hall of Fame, as well as his dad, and a couple of them are also in the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. But Alec was a 3-time state champ. He was the swimmer of the year in 1989, both in water polo and in swimming, and he was the 7-time All-American. He went on to swim at Michigan State, and he, from there, went on and became a world and national record holder. So he now is in coaching also.
Mm-hmm.
So we're delighted that be the final one of the boys in the Mull family is being inducted this year.
Man, what a class. Again, folks, we are talking with Sue Mills of the Lansing Eastern High School Athletic Hall of Fame. Again, their newest class will be inducted on February 27th. You know, I also found it very, very cool, and you briefly touched on it just a minute ago, Sue. Greg Gorgon, he's an athletics volunteer who is also getting inducted. I mean, how important? Because I think that's a very cool aspect, that you're not just honoring, you know, coaches, athletes, and teams here, but also those who are dedicated in other ways to the Lansing Eastern Athletic Department.
Yes, Gary was a wrestler himself at Eastern and was on 2 of the teams that have previously been inducted, and he was a part of it there. But he has volunteered his time. You know, he has worked at wrestling meets. You know, he keeps track of scores. He's helped with basketball, you know, timing and things like that. It's just a very dedicated volunteer for the Eastern High School athletic family.
Right. Very, very cool stuff. Now, Sue, were there any athletes or teams that just missed the cut? What percentage of the vote do you have to have?
Well, we actually have 2 votes. We start in September and have a meeting and sit down. And, well, first of all, let me put it, even go back a step further. Someone has to be nominated.
Mm-hmm.
We might come up ourselves with some names of people. But then if we want to put that name forward, we have a nomination form, and some of us on the committee do research on some individuals, and you know, others come from the Eastern family at large.
Mm-hmm.
And at our banquet every year, we have the nomination form in the program. We also have it on our website. So we get a lot of nominations, and we don't have in our rules that they have to have been, you know, first team All-State, or that they had to have played pro ball, or we don't have any guidelines like that. We use our good common sense, and we take the nominees that we have the first meeting, and we go over those names, and people nominate people.
Gotcha.
And I think this year we maybe started with 15, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get together. Sometimes we have a little more information somebody wants, you know, us to get, and then we meet a month later, and we do our first round of balloting to see who's going to make it to the final ballot, and the person has to receive 5 votes from the committee of 9 to be placed on the final ballot, and then we meet again a month later, and out of the 9, you're limited to the number you can vote for, and then each person has to get 6 votes. So,
wow.
We did have some that, you know, didn't make it this year, but their name can be in consideration for 3 years.
Gotcha, gotcha. And you know what I find really cool? I mean, when you have a school, because I tell you what, my high school didn't have an athletic hall of fame. For the student athletes who are currently competing there at Lansing Eastern High School, I mean, what type of trickle-down effect does this have on the student athletes there now? I mean, that has to be pretty inspiring for them to see this ceremony take place year after year, right?
Well, it is, and we do something that's really meet during the banquet itself. We have a catered meal at the high school, and we work with a local caterer, but we provide students and student-athletes, some of them in other sports, who are part of the National Honor Society or part of the International Baccalaureate program that we have at Eastern, and these are our student servers. And we have about 30 servers. We usually have around 120 to 150 at the banquet.
Mm-hmm.
And the students are assigned the table, so they get to meet with these people one-on-one and hear their acceptance speeches and, you know, what this means to them. And then, of course, we go over to the field house after that, and at halftime, or I guess maybe it's between the games, we have them introduced again, and then they're down, you know, mingling in the area where all the plaques are, and it's a very nice thing for the students.
It certainly is.
People now, graduated from Eastern and gone on and been very successful.
Yeah, now for those listening right now, Sue, again, can you just remind the folks, again, the date and again, how the ceremony will go if they want to attend it?
Yes, the event will be held on Friday, February 27th. We always do it on the night of the last home basketball game. And I think you mentioned earlier, we play Sexton that night.
Right.
And Chris Barajas, a graduate of 1982, who was on the state championship softball team, and they've been inducted in the Hall of Fame. She's our secretary. She will take your reservations. I can give you that phone number on the air. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, it's $25 a person, which helps cover the cost of the catered dinner, plus helps us cover the cost of the student servers. And Chris's number is area code 517-482-9866. She also has an email address. Would you like that?
Yes, you can provide that as well, Sue.
Okay, it's X. D is in David, C is in Charles, B is in Barry, ARAJAS at Comcast.net.
All right. We'll also put that on our Facebook page, and I will also tweet it out. Again, the number to call, again, this is Chris Barajas, right? Chris Baraja, 517-482-9866. Or, again, you can shoot an email to XDC. Baraja, which is B-A-R-A-J-A-S, at Comcast.net. We'll put all of that information on our social media pages in public for you. Again, $25 a ticket, right?
$25, and it's a great meal.
Oh, boy, you're making me hungry. Sue, you're making me hungry right now.
And then anybody who attends the meal, the athletic department provides them with tickets to the game so they and their family can, you know, move on and watch the game.
There you have that. It should be a very cool event. I will be in attendance to cover it for Current Sports TV, so you don't want to miss that coverage as
right.
well.
I don't know if we talked about the time, but...
Yeah, what's the time?
We start at 4:45 for people to check in, and we have a little gathering out in the lobby at the high school there, and then they move into the Eleanor Dorsum Social Hall for the dinner.
Okay, gotcha.
The dinner actually starts at 5:15, but, you know, people start arriving about a half hour early.
Right, exactly. Okay, well, we will make sure we post that information for you, Sue. Again, folks, Lansing Eastern High School Sports Hall of Fame committee member, Sue Mills. Sue, thanks a lot for your time today.
Thank you so much. And people can make reservations through the end of this week.
Okay, well, there you heard it, folks. Get on it. Get on it. Should be a great event. Thanks a lot, Sue.
Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. All right, well, let's hit our second break, folks. When we come back, we've still got Barbershop Wednesday to get to. Unforgivable. To what extent, do you forgive an athlete? We'll talk about the Alex Rodriguez apology. All of that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. What's up, good people? Welcome back to Current Sports. We have about 10 minutes left. Man, time flies when you're having fun. We just finished talking with Sue Mills, who is a part of the committee for the Lansing Eastern High School Athletic Hall of Fame. Again, They will be inducting its newest class on February 27th. The ceremony will take place at 5:15 p.m. We will post all the information if you want to attend that ceremony. It is $25 a ticket. So, again, we'll post that on our Facebook pages, and also I will tweet it out. So you want to, again, follow me at Al Martin, WKAR. Well, with 10 minutes left, we're going to have a quick conversation here concerning a story and a player that's pretty high prolific. His name is Alex Rodriguez. You guys know A-Rod, right? New York Yankees player. And, you know, A-Rod has gone through a lot these past few years. Specifically, when you talk about breaking the rules in sports, of course, A-Rod was caught red-handed taking performance-enhancing drugs throughout, you know, a big portion of his baseball career. And you know what? He's trying to get back on the like me train and has decided to offer an apology to the fans and everyone involved with baseball, including, of course, the New York Yankees organization. So, you know, our Barbershop Wednesday today focuses on, you know, to what extent do you, as a fan, forgive an athlete? It's time for Barbershop Wednesday, folks.
Well, I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but a healthy conversation.
All right, well, I find this kind of comical in a way for me. You know, again, A-Rod, he decided to, again, on Tuesday, just days before the New York Yankees are reporting to spring training, he cleverly wrote a 2-page letter apologizing to everyone but Anthony Bosch, his drug supplier, if you guys remember, who got a 4-year federal prison sentence on the same day. Just to read a little excerpt here from A-Rod's apology letter, quote, "I take full responsibility for my mistakes that led to my suspension for the 2014 season. I regret that my actions made the situation worse than it needed to be. To Major League Baseball, the Yankees, the Steinbrenner family, the Players Association, and you, the fans, I can only say I'm sorry. I accept the fact that many of you will not believe my apology or anything that I say at this point. I understand why, and that's on me." Interesting comments, to say the least. Again, A-Rod's handwritten apology to the fans, to the Yankee organization, and the world of baseball for getting caught red-handed using performance-enhancing drugs. So the question we pose again, to what extent do you forgive an athlete? Now, for me, you know, I read this story. Again, I prefaced it before I even read the apology letter that, you know, for me, I found it kind of comical because, you know, athletes are in a unique position because, you know, they are, the spotlight's always on them. You know, especially the high-profile ones, those who are great at what they do on the field, on the hardwood, no matter what sport they play. You know, if you're good, you're going to garner a lot of attention. A-Rod has certainly been one of those players throughout his career. Leading up until he was caught using performance-enhancing drugs and being associated with Anthony Bosch, I mean, A-Rod was looked at as one of the best players in the game. One of the best in the game. I mean, he plays for one of the best organizations in all of sports, the New York Yankees. You know, I just find it very comical when athletes who engage in activity off the playing field that they know is wrong, and then finally get caught for doing that activity, how their life and mindset on life totally changes. Now, don't get me wrong here. I am a man who knows that, hey, I make mistakes on a daily basis. I make mistakes on a weekly basis. We all do. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. And I acknowledge that A-Rod is a man who has made mistakes, clearly, you know, especially with this whole PED situation. And it's not until you make a mistake that's big enough that really changes your world and your life that you have to take a step back and say, okay, man, I screwed up here. Maybe I do need to apologize and change the way I'm living my life. This was one of those situations for A-Rod. I'm a guy who believes in apologies, and I'm a guy who accepts apologies because we all make mistakes in life. But I think right now, I mean, just look at the timing of this apology. Again, folks, days before just days before spring training, A-Rod comes out with this apology. You know, first it was a vocal one, and then he came out and wrote it down in a two-page letter. I just feel as though, and looking at the perception that A-Rod has had throughout his career, I should say later part of his career, I think this is just a ploy to get the fans on his side so that when he does take the baseball field throughout this year, he isn't as highly scrutinized as it could have been. He's trying to soften the blow as to how the media covers him this year and how the fans react to him once he hits that field, folks. It's a great media ploy here. It's a great PR move, without a doubt. But just how many fans will bite on it, I don't know. Because for me, if I'm a fan looking at A-Rod, a man who has clearly cheated the game, as a fan, my forgiveness only goes so far. And that's for any athlete who cheats the game, no matter who it is. You know, if it came out that Michael Jordan was you know, in many ways pulling the strings of the game. Yeah, I would, as a fan, it would be a turnoff, and I would be highly disappointed. So for A-Rod to issue this apology is certainly a PR move, and it doesn't come off as sincere as it could have. Now, if A-Rod would have made this apology right when it happened, right when he got caught red-handed, right when everything hit the fan, then we may be talking about a different story here. In many ways, that's what Tiger Woods did. You know, Tiger Woods, you know, when he got caught and in the reports came out from these different women he was involved with, you know, Tiger came out, you know, about a month later and said, hey, I messed up. I need to really evaluate my life here and get back on the right track. If he would have did it, it's all about timing. Life is all about timing, folks. And for me, I just have to really look at this with kind of a side eye. I don't know, because as a fan, you know, again, you want to like the guy, and you, at the end of the day, reading the, because I read most of the letter here, and it seems as though he is genuinely sorry. And again, it's funny how athletes, or whatever, whether it be a celebrity or anybody in this world, it's funny how, you know, they totally change once a mistake happens big enough that affects everything in their world. And you, at the end of the day, I don't care what you say. I mean, we always say athletes should learn how to tune out the fans and the opinions of the fans. But let's be honest here. Athletes read Twitter. Athletes read the blogs. Athletes read the comments. Every athlete wants to be liked. Well, I mean, what athlete doesn't want to be liked? It's part of the reason. I mean, I watched a great documentary that was done on Stephon Marbury, former NBA player who took his talents to China. I mean, they worship Stephon Marbury now in China for what he's done for their league. And they love him. And, you know, they interviewed him and said, you know, would you ever, Marbury, think about returning to the United States to play basketball? And he said, why would I want to return to a place that once hated me, where I'm worshipped like a god here? Interesting perspective. We'll continue tomorrow, folks. I want to get your thoughts on it. Again, leave your comments at facebook.com/currentsports. I will read them live on the air. Also, tweet me at AlMartinWKR. I will read your tweets as well, folks. All right, tomorrow's show should be a hot one. We'll give you a sneak peek preview of the night's Current Sports TV sit-down with Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1 and co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show. Rico has some strong thoughts. I mean, when does he doesn't, what, right? So he has some strong thoughts concerning the MSU men's basketball team and so much more. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic hump day. And be easy, people. We'll be right back.